fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news here on WGRN 94.1 with the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy is Dan Dugan here on the Green Renaissance. The Green Renaissance Station. So the week has been quite filled with, in my case, some festivities. Doodah, and that was lots of fun. I got to play a little music there.
What were you doing on Doodah Day?
Well, I mostly emceed from the bandstand, and I for once
was Dick Clark there.
No, and I don't even think Bruce Nutt was there, but. Anyway, I for once got to watch a lot of the parade, and so lots of fun. There was a little girl in a cage that got a lot of attention, and because we know what's going on out there right now in immigration land. But before we get to that, we wanted to discuss the breaking news of our man Pruitt stepping down at the Environmental Protection Agency.
Or as reality mandates, every polluter's advocate,
yeah.
The key advocate for poisoning America, Scott Pruitt, mm-hmm. who also happened to simply be corrupt.
Snotty Scotty got away with millions in spending for his vacations, his jaunts, his
private travel,
helping his friends make more money, getting a job for his wife
up.
With Chick-fil-A, etc. The list went on and on. The guy, in the year that he was in office, he rescinded lots of laws that were protecting our environment. But finally, he's gone. I don't know what that means in the future.
Sad thing, he's not gone because of his absolute willing and knowing incompetence in enforcing the environmental law.
Right. Yeah.
He's
protection.
Gone because
yeah,
of
right.
corruption.
Yeah. So,
but we'll take it.
Right. And the final one was, the final straw was his wife, though, in seeking employment, gainful employment for his lovely wife, whose name escapes me. But anyway, Scott did a lot of damage, though, in a year. So I don't know how we get back there other than vote. Right?
And his policies, again, to strip the Great Lakes of environmental protection and allow the algae and toxins to flourish in Toledo area.
Yeah, and the standards for emissions, the emission standards for automobiles as well as other factory.
Well, you can't expect
us
to be able to
emissions.
Do as good as China or other
right.
countries not quite as developed.
Right. Yeah, it's quite a battle that goes on, but at least I guess it's a small victory in
That's true.
Him,
the
right?
man battled hard to take us back to the 50s.
Yes, he did his best, as the Trump administration continues to do, in winding back the clock and putting the industries back in charge of the environment. So, anyway, like I said, at least that's some good news. In the meantime, saw you the other day at the pro-immigration, pro-family immigration rally downtown.
Because this show, and you as well, Mr. Dugan.
Yes, indeed.
We stand for family values.
Yeah, the real family values.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like not putting kids in cages.
Right, or having them stand in a docket with no representation. You know,
we believe in the U.S. Constitution and due process.
Right.
And that despite what Trump says, that immigrants, and particularly refugees and those applying for refugee status and asylum, which is another legal status, have rights, that we've long established this process of due process, and you can't grab them, rip the kids away from them, and simply dump them back because we've signed treaties. There are covenants, and there's certain ways that you treat refugees and asylees.
Right. Well, you, one would think. So.
Well, you know, it's time-honored. It's called a customary international norm. And when you don't do it, it puts you on the wrong side of human rights and history.
Yeah, absolutely. And the constitutional rights should stand for anyone that's within our borders, right?
Yeah, it's, we have
should
well established there's a due process, whether you're an American citizen or not.
Yeah, exactly. And at least, you know, as you say, just even common decency would dictate that people be treated better than they have been.
Right. So. If you're being tortured in your homeland, there's fear of death. There's fear of retaliation. You've run across local political cartels involved in drugs, etc. You have a right to come to the U.S. and plead your case, particularly when we destabilize those nations. I mean, where these Central American immigrants are coming from, and we've talked about this on this show before, we overthrew the democratic government of Honduras in 2009. Mm-hmm. We backed, as you well know, and you've you know, written a song about it and sung about it,
right,
in El Salvador.
We
did brutal things and backed a fascistic Arena party there.
Right.
A lot of these people are coming because of U.S. foreign policy.
Absolutely. Yep. It is blowback in that regard. And to send them back to those countries
often means harassment
or death,
violence, and in many cases, death.
Right. And yes, they have a right to seek political asylum.
And they have a right to be treated fairly in that process.
Right. And at this point, there have been rulings concerning reuniting the families. And there was a 30-day deadline put down by a federal judge. So, and at least 2,000 families are to be reunited within that timeline. Correct?
And the question is whether or not we even know where the parents are
in some
or
cases,
where the kids are.
They're going to have to use DNA to find out who's who.
Who's?
That's just how poorly it's been done, even, you know.
Right. Not only do you have a brutal bureaucracy, it's incompetent.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Once again, we find that to be the case.
But there's a new president down in Mexico who's very progressive.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
Isn't going to agree to build Trump's wall.
Yeah, or pay for it, right. Yeah. Yeah, how dare he? Well, you never know. Soon we may be building a wall on the Canadian border, you know. Things are heating up
well,
in that direction,
well, you got to be. I mean, Trump did make a good point. They were involved as a colony of Britain in the burning of the White House in the War of 1812.
Right, yeah. And the Plains
He's
of
Quebec. He's a pretty good thinker.
Right, yes. Plains of Abraham above Toronto. Yeah, well, there you go. It was quite a battle back then. It's still a battle today, but our commander of cheese does live in the past.
Well, yeah, he's kind of a specialist on the War of 1812 because he likes little Dolly Madison sweets.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. I know that he prefers fast food to that ordinary food that might have been served up by gourmands in the White House, right?
And again, we've got an expansion of the sanctuary movement here in Columbus, Ohio.
Right. There are two different churches that are housing.
Yes, the Mennonite Church up in the Clintonville area.
Right.
Which has been housing Edith Espinal for 7 months. The traditional notion of sanctuary, where you allow them to stay in the church and not hand them over to the state. Now you've got the First English Lutheran Church over on Main Street that has accepted a woman in that ICE wishes to deport.
Right.
And they've offered her sanctuary. Tim Chavez was involved, a friend of WGRN, very active.
And we talked to him last week, yeah.
And he spoke about that. He had been busy moving her.
Right.
He showed me a picture which showed a a child's toy, like a dollhouse, right next to what looked like the family Bible on the floor, as the family was forced to move and the woman involved, the wife, was forced into sanctuary.
Right, right. Okay. So, yes, there are two families here locally. And again, there have been rallies. There was the one Saturday.
Which you were at, I was at.
Right. There was also an action this morning at the ICE offices, which you had been pointing out to me on Saturday. The ICE office is in, because part of the rally Saturday spread over into the street.
Right.
And there was one report there was an arrest, although we didn't see any. And then there was a rally in front of the Levesque Tower, because
Correct.
That's where the ICE office is. And you said there's Security. A jail cell in there as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, you know, a prison, the equivalent of a little prison floor up
right
there.
Right there in our own art,
Levesque Tower.
Art Deco
yes,
skyscraper.
And one of my, actually, my favorite building.
It's a beautiful building.
In Columbus.
Right.
It looks like an Art Deco building that was, you know, the Empire State Building and
sure.
the Chrysler Building.
Chrysler Building.
Had a child. And
yes.
while it turned 10, it ran away
but who knew
to
that
Columbus,
it,
Ohio.
Who knew that it would be impregnated with a jail cell?
And it stood out, right?
Yes.
It's like it came here to
yes,
hide out
did.
So its parents in New York couldn't find it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it just stands out.
That's right.
And it
yes.
stands out for another reason, because that's where ICE is
right.
locking up people
so
to deport them.
There was actually a Christian group. I'm not sure what the name of the group was, but they were in there this morning. Or I'm sorry, on Thursday morning, they were in there, and
my favorite Christians, the ones that act like Christ.
Well, yeah, and they did hold out for 16 minutes, hoping to be in there for some reason for 33 minutes, but so nearly half the time. But no one was arrested there. Apparently, the police did not want to make arrests, and they didn't want to be arrested, but they did. Hold out against the authorities for a little while, made their statement, and then another rally's coming up this
Well, the police have a bad reputation.
Monday, this coming Monday on the 9th.
But I actually believe this is too much for them. I mean, they get accused, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, racist nature of their policy. But, you know, they're not down with this, let's rip families apart.
Right.
You really, you know, you could tell when we were at the rally on Saturday that they weren't into arresting anybody.
Yeah, it was a classic standoff when you see the police are really trying hard to give everybody as much warning as they can so they don't have to make an arrest because they don't want to because they're rather sympathetic to the cause, right? I guess, somewhat. But no one really wanted to be arrested.
I'm just trying to find out.
And again, that's the surprise that someone was.
Who in the hell is for ripping kids away from their parents and putting them in cages?
Donald Trump.
Okay.
You know, and Jeff Sessions. You know, apparently there are some.
Well, Jeff Sessions
directing
likes
this.
To grab them and rip them away personally.
I don't know what they want, but this is their tactics. But again, there's a rally on Monday at the State House on July 9th, Solidarity Rally to Abolish ICE, which is a movement at this point, wouldn't you say so? The whole notion of abolishing ICE as opposed to just trying to rein them in, which
yeah,
is not
I mean,
working.
The question, do you need ICE? You've got Homeland Security.
Right.
It seems to be a redundant agency, and it seems like Trump has turned it into the new jackboots, right? They've got such an evil reputation. This is WGRN 94.1.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to Bob Tragus and Dan Dugan on the other side of the news.
This is what community sounds like, right, Bob?
Right, and the community, many members on Saturday were calling for the abolition
Right,
of
the abolition
ICE.
Of ICE, right.
I mean, they look like, you see the pictures of them, they look like they belong on the Death Star.
Yeah, right, there you go, Tantana, yes. Yeah, indeed, we need Han Solo and the Wookiee. You want to play the Wookiee? I'll play Solo, or we could switch it around. Anyway, so there's a lot going on to try to bring attention to this issue, and lots of people are speaking out, and we would like to see more people out. There were several, one of the media outlets said several thousand. seemed like to me on that Saturday rally.
Yeah, it looked like there was more than 2,000 people there.
Right. And there were rallies in all 50 states, 700 cities, as a matter of fact. So this thing continues to grow. But again, my question is, to what extent will the abolish ICE movement be taken seriously? And I don't know. What do you think is a possibility? It's not. Well, I agree, it should be done.
I don't think
what's
Trump
the chance of it happening?
Well, right now the political force is out there, but people are very outraged about. The polls were showing 66-34, so the vast majority,
right.
2/3 of Americans are absolutely opposed to Trump's policy of
separating families. Right.
And I'm really wondering who in the hell are this other 34%?
I don't know, but it seems like there's about a 30% that runs the country. Anyway, if that, I mean, we can get back to the gilded 1%. But as far as,
the Nazis
political
only
machine,
needed 33%
it might be a third.
Percent when
it
they took be. Over Germany.
There you go. Well, sure. So I guess that adds up into enough strength. Of ignorance.
Well, a lot of it is the intensity factor, is that, how much, as Melania would say, do you really care?
Yeah.
And what I think what you're seeing is a movement here. In the
I saw several signs movement. To that effect, too. So, yes. And also at Duda, yes, we do care. But anyway, so.
Yeah, there were some great signs. And, again,
yeah.
A lot of them called for resistance.
Mm-hmm. Right, crush ICE, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
One knucklehead was heard screaming, "Buck ICE," but he wasn't sure anyone got that joke. The Buckeye State, but anyway. So, also, speaking of the Buckeye State, the Free Press from the capital city has just come out, and you have authored several articles in here.
Yeah, that's usually depends on who didn't turn their articles in.
And then you burn the midnight oil and keep writing. Well, there's an article here in
I babble, my wife takes it down, and
well, there you go.
We call it an article.
Right, exactly.
Kind of little like
it's
the
a
show,
team.
Right?
Kind of
get
like
a transcript.
That. Absolutely.
Cut and paste. Get someone to transcribe it.
Sure.
Take the highlights.
Uh-huh. And we call Suzanne the producer so that we can blame her, right? If it doesn't work.
When the show doesn't work, it's
right.
always it's, the producer's
that's right. It's
fault.
Exactly the way it
and
works.
And when it does work, it's the talent.
Sure enough.
That's what they call us, right? The front guys?
That's right. We're the talent.
We're the talent.
We are the talent. So meanwhile, your talent authored a Cop Watch about Blue, White, and Boom, and does anybody have any C4, and the racism that's inherent in the Columbus Police Department. So...
Well,
care to elaborate?
Melissa McFadden, again, she's the highest-ranking black female in the Columbus Police. There's another lieutenant, right? She's a step-below commander,
mm-hmm.
Has filed a lawsuit against the Columbus Police and the city of Columbus charging racial discrimination. And I look forward to it, particularly if there's discovery, because as part of our investigation at the Free Press, one of the things she alleges is she went with another black female to file a discrimination charge.
Correct.
And that's why they were out to get her at the highest levels of the
because
department.
Because she complained.
Because
right.
she supported.
She spoke up.
Another black female who was filing a complaint.
Right. Okay.
But again, Columbus has a longstanding problem with minority police officers, particularly black police officers. It goes way back. James Moss, the founder of POER, Police Officers for Equal Rights, who was essentially, they tried to run him out of town. He's the one that turned in Columbus to the Justice Department under Bill Clinton and Bill Lan Lee. And they came to an agreement to put the cameras in the police cruiser because 300 people claimed that their civil rights, they swore affidavits,
right.
had been violated by the Columbus Police. But right. if you go back, as James Moss points out, January 4th, 1971 was the first major class hired at the police academy. Seven black men began training. So that was the big breakthrough. You'd have one black police officer here or there, but the first attempt to actually hire black officers, right? The Columbus police today has about 10% black officers, even though the city is well over a quarter, somewhere around 27-28% African American.
Right.
So you have that. And there was, and that led to a variety of lawsuits back then because of embedded institutional patterns of racism. And a lot of this, when Chief Jackson, the first African American police chief, was in charge, he mentioned it several times. At a general staff meeting in June 2004, he said, quote, "Although the number of people disciplined is small, it appears blacks and females are disciplined to a far greater degree than white males." What's coming out of this lawsuit and complaints by minorities within the police department is this notion of how they do discipline. For example, everything goes over to the IAB, the Internal Affairs Bureau.
Right.
Where it's given to a sergeant, and they go out and investigate. So what's been happening as a pattern, a lot of times when the sergeant finds that white officers have committed infractions,
right.
their superiors have a right to intervene and essentially dismiss the charges and the findings.
Right.
And that often doesn't happen for black officers, where in fact they go back, even if there's no finding, it's reviewed by hires up, and they'll find disproportionately black officers are guilty of disciplinary charges, but white officers are not.
Huh.
So in 2006.
So anytime someone's bringing a complaint, though, their name is immediately known. I mean, it's not.
Well,
there's no effort to keep the name anonymous at all in the raising of a complaint.
Well, it's a public record once that's filed.
Once it's filed.
At the IAB.
All right.
But there was a longstanding pattern in the system where a lot of people thought they'd filed complaints against police officers and even filled out a form, but it turned out not to be the form. The IAB form.
Huh.
So then that was informal, and the sergeant could take you out for
a
beer and say, "Shape up, Dugan. Quit cussing out."
Right. Good old
Columbus
Dugan, the cop. Yeah,
citizens.
Good Irish cop, yeah.
Danny O'Dugan.
Well, yeah,
there's,
right.
There's probably
the
been
Irish
a
Irish officer. Move along now. Nothing to see here. I'm practicing. So, no, seriously, so they had the option to just discuss it with the officer? In other words, if it,
well,
if you,
not if it was
so,
a
so
formal
when you go in to
IAB.
Complain, right, but they would give you not the formal form, but the one that's
like,
just
say
a
you're
general
upset and
complaint.
You go down to the precinct to complain. So what then happens when you go down to complain is you might sign something, take something, but it's not an official complaint. It's not an official IAB complaint. So you think you filed a complaint down at the precinct. In reality,
right.
you haven't. It's an informal complaint. So in 2006, Jackson directed supervisors.
But wait. Let me just get to this. So, but do they have an option of giving you one or the other, are you saying?
No, but they did anyway.
Okay.
Right.
Because they're supposed to give you the one that is the official complaint.
And they were
complaint.
Busted, yes, over
okay.
at IAB.
Right. Okay.
They're supposed to direct you there.
I mean, not that I wouldn't want them to get their beer and a nice talking
that,
to.
That the sergeant, you know, of course you'd want it to be a black
drinking.
And tan.
Yeah, there we go. Come
okay.
on.
So, so people thought they were filing
Don't
complaints.
Go there.
Okay. Now, a variety of other things that have happened, we've been able to come up with certain disciplinary issues. One is a police officer in posting on Facebook said, "Does anyone have any C4?"
Right.
When he was talking about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
Now, what if me and you had talked about, if there was a police rally, Blue Lives Matter, about getting C4? Either of us would still be in prison.
Right.
Right? It's just, it's
well,
not
there was
funny.
Even a pattern even before that, though, where monkeys was used, apes, the N-word, et cetera, right?
Right.
And that was before the C4 comment,
and,
right?
And
so
in
they
that
had
case,
seen they had seen elements of this already,
and
right?
And C4, of course, is military-grade explosive.
Before they got to that. I got you.
So you're talking about explosive.
Right.
But, again, the reason there was like, well, the person who turned him in wasn't personally offended. Since when is that a standard, and since when doesn't that violate Columbus police policy?
Right.
If you're using racial slurs or asking if anyone's got C4, a military-grade explosive?
Yeah, I hear you. What I'm saying is there was even, and obviously there's been a pattern of racism. You know, look at the beatings and the deaths. But, you know, it all builds up. And so, but the C4 is the one that that the complaint was filed by McFadden, or?
Well, McFadden brought it up.
I mean,
she
the
had
one
a
she went with, the other woman that she went with.
Well, the, again, Chief Jacobs, Kim Jacobs.
Oh, okay.
When she took over, she removed the deputy chief from the IAB. So now the commander has to report directly to her.
Okay.
Right? And if you're a commander, how willing are you to stand up to, you know, essentially the chief of police? It, you know, it takes a lot of strength. So what happened is Chief Jacobs ended up with tremendous power over the IAB, and many of the black officers feel that she's been running it in a racist, discriminatory manner, rewarding her friends and punishing those that don't support her.
Okay. All right. I
so
hear
McFadden
you.
So McFadden saying, look, there's a hostile work environment. McFadden
right.
says, look, I went in and warned as a lieutenant. I went to these roll calls, and right. I warned people not to write this stuff on Facebook.
Right.
So
okay.
then
it's already been warned.
One of the things, because it was Black Lives Matter, is she ended up, you know, saying they made up, the white police officers made up stories regarding, you know, somehow I was for Black Lives Matter,
yeah,
as
I
opposed
gotcha.
To telling everyone, don't do stupid things, don't be publicly posting these.
All right.
Reggae Radio Takeover, Saturday, July 7th, noon to 8 p.m., our sister station, WCRS
yes,
Radio.
We wanted to make sure that got in. This
yes.
Saturday, down at 1021 East Broad Street, it's a potluck in the rear party. And beer for purchase, charity record auction. Support your local sound systems.
Come
and community
meet Mr.
Radio.
Dugan at the rear party.
There
All
we
right.
Go. We'll have some fun. Thank you much.
Peace. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.